For a text to the message this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8. I'd like to read the first two verses in Romans 8. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death." Especially like to notice verse 2 here. We notice that there are two laws that he is talking about. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and then the law of sin and death. I've titled the message this morning, "Which Law Are We Strengthening?" Which law are we strengthening? If we look at these two laws, we see the law of life, the law of the Spirit, which is a law of life, and we see the law of sin and death, which we could liken to the law of the mind. In verse 3, it talks about what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So we have the law of the mind and we have the law of the Spirit. And so the question is, which are we counting on? And I trust that all of us, do all of us want victory here today? I think we all want victory. And so, which law are we counting on to give us victory? In the humanistic way of looking at it, we want something that we can look to, something that we can see, something that we can do to strengthen us in battle so that we can have victory. And by the way, there is a difference between a place of battle and a place of victory. I guess that would probably be a whole message in itself. But a place of battle is something, is a place where you would conquer a hill, but the enemy is not vanquished. And you would still have to defend the hill. Victory would be where all of the enemy either is in prison or is dead. And you could get on the hill and you could lay down and take a nap. That is victory. And I believe that it's very obvious when we look at the old Mosaic law that the law of the mind is a law of battle, whereas the law of the Spirit is a law of victory. And I believe that's why it calls the law of sin that Jesus set us free from, it calls it the law of sin and death, and that is the law of the mind. We look in verse 1, he says, "There is therefore," and so whenever we see the word therefore, we have to go back and what it's there for. You know, why is it there? So we need to go back to chapter 7 to see why there is a therefore. And I want to look at this in light of chapter 7, the last part. This is a scripture that doesn't make sense unless we look at it in light of us being a three-part being. We are body, soul, and spirit, or if you want to put spirit first, we are spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. I think that would be the proper terminology. We go back to in chapter 7, in verse 15. If we simply look at us as being one part, this scripture doesn't make any sense. But if we consider the fact that we are a three-part being, and we correctly identify what God is saying here, then it helps us to understand why he says what he says here. So let's try to identify which part of Paul that Paul is talking about when he writes the scripture. So whenever he says I or me or so forth, we need to identify, is he talking about his spirit, which is really the was or is the real Paul, the new creation, or is he talking about the soul, the mind, will, and emotions, or the heart of man, or is he talking about his body, the flesh, or the old man, when he says I or me? He says in verse 15, for that which I do I allow not, for what I would that do I not, but what I hate that do I. If Paul were just one part, it wouldn't make any sense, would it? It's a total conflict. But if we see it as a multiple part being, it makes perfect sense. And we could read it this way. For that which I, the soul, or the flesh, do, I, the spirit, allow not. I don't know, my spirit doesn't agree. The new creation doesn't agree with what the flesh, the old man, the mind, will, and emotions are doing. Or even what the heart are doing. Jesus said, out of the heart of man comes, and he gave a whole list of whatever word you want to use for to describe those evil things that come out of the heart of man. So, would you agree with me that out of our heart, out of our soul, with the flesh, would come all that wickedness? God says in His Word that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But when we look at the Spirit, the new creation, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, God says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, some things are become new. All things, that's right. Thank you. All things are become new. Do we believe that? You know, a lot of times we live like we don't believe it. Because ultimately, what we feel is in our soul. Okay, well, we thank God for His goodness. We have her laid back in the nursery, and it's going to be a little till she gets to, comes to. So we'll try to go ahead and see what God has for us. I'm not sure if we can get through this today altogether. But I believe you get the picture of what we're talking about here as far as the three-part being and how that Paul was making it clear to us, of the Father, God speaking to us through Paul, making it clear to us how that we are a three-part being. And, you know, what my wife just experienced there, that would have been her body in the flesh, in the old man. Her spirit is a new creation, so there is no sickness in the new creation. And ultimately, we believe that God's will is for us to be healed. And so we just continue to trust God and continue to believe in God for healing. So the first part here in verse 15, for that which I, the soul, and I'm just going to use the word soul, but you could tie it with the flesh if you wanted to. For that which I, the soul, do, I, the spirit, allow not. For what I, the spirit, would, that do I, the soul, not. But what I, the spirit, hate, that do I, the soul. If then I, the soul, do that which I, the spirit, would not, I, the spirit, consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I, the spirit, that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, that is in my soul. For I, the spirit, know that in me, that is in my flesh, and here he makes it clear, in my flesh, in my old man, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, in the spirit, but how to perform that which is good, I, in my soul, I find not. For the good that I, the Spirit, would, I, the soul, do not, but the evil which I, the Spirit, would not, that I, the soul, do. Now if I do that, I, the Spirit, would not. It is no more I, the Spirit, that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, in my soul. I, the Spirit, find any law that when I, the Spirit, would do good, evil is present with me in the soul. For I, the Spirit, delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I, the Spirit, see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me, the soul, into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I, the soul, am, who shall deliver me, the Spirit, from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself, the Spirit, serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And I don't profess to have a total understanding or say that I got all those words, you know, in the right place there, but that would be my understanding of it. So Paul is making this clear here that, like I said, we are a three-part being, and it makes this scripture make a lot more sense when we understand it from a three-part being sense. That we are not just a one-part being and we're just flipping around from one part to the other. Ultimately, the battle for us when we think about strengthening the law of the mind, the battle for us would be to keep this door from the flesh, the old man, shut, so that we can strengthen the law of the mind and we can do battle against sin and have victory. However, man's way of doing that is by creating more rules and, you know, writing things that says, you know, when this happens, I do this, or by purposing in our heart, putting in a resolve, you know, that I'm not going to do this. Well, ultimately, what happens is whatever we focus on, that is what we get. So if we're struggling with a spirit of lust or pride or greed or fear or whatever it is, you know, we focus on that and we say, well, I don't want lust and I don't want fear, I don't want greed, and we focus on that and say, I'm not going to do this. Well, ultimately, what happens is the more we focus on the lust or the fear or the greed, the sin that we don't want, the more of that we get. The power to strengthen what, well, let me go back up just a little bit. God's plan has always been for us to live out of our spirit, the new creation that He created when we're born again. And God wants us to have the door to the Spirit open to our soul. Ultimately, the battle is for the soul. And so I like to think that you can't have the door of the Spirit open at the same time that the door to the flesh is open, that you're either living out of one side or the other. You're either living out of what God says or you're living out of what the devil says. And you don't have one or the other, like both open at the same time or both shut at the same time. It's either one or the other. And it's kind of like what the Indian described it as, you know, within you there is a white dog and a black dog, and, you know, they fight. And Galatians 5:17 talks about that, the flesh against the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary to each other. And then, well, the guy asked him, well, you know, which dog wins? And he said, it depends which one you say sick him to. And so ultimately, that's why Brother Jason Miller over here in Providence, he said that, you know, God's greatest enemy is not the devil. The devil's already been defeated. God's greatest enemy is the human carnal will. And that will is in our soul. And so when we allow this door to the flesh to be open, and even from our heart, there are things coming to our mind, and we feel those things and we desire those things like Eve did. She saw the tree in the garden, the fruit, that it was desirable, it was good to look at, it was good, pleasing to the eyes, and she reached out and she took of it in disobedience to God. And ultimately that was exercising her will against the plan of God. And we have that opportunity to do that. And that is what Brother Elmer was talking about, was that just last Sunday, about the perfect law of liberty? That is the way the perfect law of liberty works. It allows us to do whatever we want to do. You know, Satan's government is a system of control where he tries to control people to do things. And that is the way the hierarchy of the church works as well. It is a system of control where people are brought under the hierarchy with fear and intimidation. God's government is exactly the opposite, where God works out of a government of love, where God gives you choices and God allows you to make decisions in whatever way you want. However, depending on the choices that we make, there will be consequences or there will be rewards, depending on the choices that we make. So ultimately, we again are in covenant as believers. We are in threshold covenant with God. God says, all I am, all I have is yours. And so when we go out into the flesh, God allows us to do that. And he allows us to live after the flesh. He allows us to do whatever we want. But there are consequences for choices that we make, decisions that we make. And when we look into the perfect law of liberty and we see the goodness of God because of what God is speaking to our spirit, and we live out of who God says we are, and out of, in our heart there may be a bunch of lies where the devil is saying, you know, we're a piece of trash, we're worthless, we're junk. And if we live out of that, then ultimately the flesh looks a lot more appealing to us. However, when we allow God to take down, we open our hearts to God, we take down the walls in Jesus' name that are blocking our hearts from receiving the love of God, and we begin to understand the new creation that we are, who God says we are, the flesh looks a lot less appealing anymore, because we understand that we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became sin for us so that we could be a new creation and we could be a new creature in Christ. We don't have to live in this old man, in this flesh anymore. We can now live in the new man. And so the question for us today is, which law are we strengthening? The law of the mind that says, you know, if we do all these things, if we strengthen our mind, if we increase our resolve, we can somehow have victory over this thing. Well, let me tell you, this does not work. Never did and never will. Our mind, our will is not sufficient to conquer the pull of the flesh. The enemy, the devil, working against us. Never was and never will. It was never meant to work that way. It was meant to work with us living out of our spirit, out of the new creation, with the mind of Christ. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That is God's plan, for us to live out of the spirit, and the spirit coming into our soul, taking those things, the truth shining into those things in our heart, and exposing the lies, and those lies being repented of, whatever it is that militates against God being repented of and taken to the cross. And, you know, I think sometimes we don't totally understand the word repentance, which the word repentance simply means to change our mind. So as long as we are holding a bunch of things down here in our heart that are against the will of God, we haven't repented. You know, we haven't finished repentance. And the Bible says that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. It is His goodness. God has always been for us, never against us. And there's still something within us so many times that rebels against God and wants to blame God for our problems. You know, just like it was back in the Garden of Eden. Eve blamed the serpent. Adam blamed Eve. You know, and that blame game is the thing that just goes on and on and on. That is a ploy of the devil, a deceit of the devil, that he wants us to blame somebody else for our problems. When we look at this new creation, I want to look at a scripture in 1 John 3, verse 9, where he says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." What is in a seed? Does anyone know? What is in a seed? Life, that's right. And we look at this text verse here in verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life. So here he is saying, and I don't know if you can see that. Turn this light off and see if that helps. Can't see the white too good, but anyway, you get the idea of the progression of life in a seed. That first picture on the left there doesn't look like much, does it? So when you have a seed in your hand and you want to experience the life, and you want to see the life from that seed, what do you do?
Bury it, plant it.
Yep. Make the conditions for the life to come out right. Make the conditions right. And then there comes out new life. So how do we do that in the spiritual sense? He says in that verse in 1 John 3:9 that his seed remaineth in him and he cannot sin because he is born of God. He is talking about this new creation. In the Spirit, there is that new creation. His seed remains in him and he cannot sin. You know, we tend to make excuses for sin, don't we? We say, well, the grace of God is sufficient. You know, I'm human. And we make excuses for sin. But he is telling us clearly, his seed remains in him and he cannot sin. He's talking about our spirit. So is the Bible lying? I don't think so. The problem is we have been strengthening the wrong law. We've been strengthening the law of the mind. We've been trying to do away with sin by strengthening the law of the mind, by strengthening the law of sin and death. Well, when you strengthen the law of sin and death, what can you expect? More sin and death. And the circle of defeat goes on. You sin, you repent, and you feel shame, you feel guilt, and you repent. And you come up, and the battle, you know, intensifies, and you see, and you lust, and you desire, and you fall. And you go down again, and again, and again. That wasn't God's plan. Isn't God's plan. Never has, never will be. God's plan was for us to live in victory, for us to conquer the hill, and to lay down and take a nap. How do we strengthen the law of the Spirit? If you have pride, for example, and you're focusing on the pride, say, I don't want pride. Well, the more you focus on that, the more you get that, because you're focusing on what you don't want. God says to do what? What is the opposite of pride?
Humility.
That's right. God says, walk before me and be humble. He says, walk in humility. Walk in the opposite spirit. Focus on what you do want instead of what you don't want. Strengthen the law of the Spirit. Remember, this new creation, is that new creation humble? Is it? Yes or no? How many of you think the new creation is humble? Yes, because God says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things. The pride is gone. There is no pride in that new creation. Can we live out of that? Can we believe that? Struggle with lust. What is the opposite of lust? Purity. Is the new creation pure? Absolutely. The Scripture says, unto the pure, all things are pure. So when the door to the Spirit is open, you're walking in purity, guess what? The door to the flesh is closed. The new creation doesn't want anything to do with lust. The new creation wants purity, wants to go after God. The opposite of greed, generosity, giving, walking in a spirit of generosity. The spirit of mammon is broken. and you walk in generosity, you walk in freedom, you walk in victory. Strengthen the law of the Spirit if you want to experience the life that God has for you. And ultimately, we come back to the thing of blaming God. When we walk in the flesh, in the old man, we open that door. Ultimately, the devil is going to want us to blame God for our problems. And as long as that is there, we're going to be trying to strengthen the law of the mind. We're not going to be walking in the Spirit. We're not going to be experiencing victory. I believe when we talked about making the condition for the seed right, what is the best condition for the seed of the life of the living God that is in our spirit, for that seed to grow and to flourish and to prosper? What needs to happen for that to be? There are several words that come to my mind when I think about that. And one of those is surrender. Saying yes to God. Repentance. Changing my mind about those things in my heart. And part of that repentance could be repenting of who I believed that I was. So let's say you're going through life and you start to feel downcast. You start to feel despair. You start to feel depressed. Did anything change? Did anything change? How many of you think something changed? How many of you believe nothing changed? How many of you are not sure? Okay. So the question is, who are you? Are you the flesh? Or are you the soul? Or are you spirit, the new creation? See, that's where the problem is. We struggle with identity. As long as we believe we are what we feel in our emotions, then everything changes in our mind. That is, over here in our mind, or maybe even in our heart, we began to feel that lie. We began to believe that lie. But if we believe that we are who God says we are, and when we're feeling depressed or in despair, guess what? God is a God of hope, a God of joy, a God of victory, a God of freedom. That is who He says we are. So ultimately, nothing has changed. It doesn't matter what we feel in our soul. Nothing has changed. You're born again, right? You're a new creation, right? Who said you're a new creation? Was that you that said that? And you can lie, right? How many of you can lie? Exactly. Can God lie? How many of you believe God cannot lie? Exactly. So, what are we going to go with? Are we going to strengthen the law of our mind that says, I am feeling this depression, I am feeling this despair, I feel so hopeless, and we go with that, and we strengthen the law of the mind to try to, you know, we stuff it down. I don't want to feel that, and we stuff it down, but sooner or later, the cork pops off the bottle, and out comes all this stuff spilling out, defiling others, if you will. Versus when we believe who we are, the new creation, the Spirit, and we express that to the Father, and we go to the Father with that, and we say, Father, I am feeling depressed. I am feeling despair. I am feeling hopeless. What do you say? And guess what? The Father takes you back to the new creation of who He says you are. And nothing has changed. And He affirms you. He assures you. So it doesn't matter what you feel. Your feelings do not get to say who you are. God is the only one that gets to say who you are. The feelings are a lie. Guess where they came from? Straight from the pits of hell, through the door of the flesh, to your feelings and into your heart when you believe those feelings and you put them in your heart. That's why Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So when we allow, or we choose to open the door to the Spirit and live out of who God says we are, believe what God says we are, we begin to feel that and know that in our mind and feel it in our emotions, and that truth comes down to our heart, and it displaces the lie of who the feelings said we are. And the truth sets us free. And it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't change a thing. That's why Paul talked about that in Corinthians, about, you know, being pressed down but not in despair, about all these different things that he was feeling, but it didn't change a thing because he knew who he was in Christ. So, this morning, as a believer, the law of life is in you. And that law says, you, because of the resurrected living Lord Jesus Christ is living in you, you are bigger than any battle you've ever faced. And he is better than anything you have ever chased. He is the answer. He is truth. He doesn't just give you truth. He is truth. He doesn't just give you love. He is love. He doesn't just give you freedom. He is freedom. He is our sustainer. He is our source. He is everything we need. I'd like to close with this scripture. Ephesians 3, verses 16 and 19, he says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. By his Spirit coming to your inner man, your new creation, and strengthen you according to the riches of his glory. How wonderful is that? There is no limit to that. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. You have to believe it, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. The love is in the Spirit. You are rooted and grounded, and no man can take that away from you. No man can take your joy from you. It's only taken if you give it up. The church in Ephesus did not leave their first love. I'm sorry, did not lose their first love. They left it. They chose to walk away from it. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I believe that comes out and encompasses the soul. Remember this door being shut, not walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit, and the whole love of Christ which passes knowledge will be, your whole soul will be filled with all the fullness of God. And that is going to evidence itself by coming out of your body. It will show in your face. It will show in the things that you do. The love of God completely filling your soul and rooting out all lies. However, the biggest enemy for that to happen is our will. When we say, well, I don't believe this. I think I'm just a piece of junk. I'm no good. I'm a piece of trash. And we believe that. Guess what? We'll be doing a lot of strengthening of the mind to try to overcome that. Until we agree with God and we agree that we are a new creation. We are valuable. We are loved. We are accepted. We are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that he asked or think. Above all that we ask or think. because of who He says we are. Strengthen the law of the Spirit. You will experience victory. Let's kneel to pray.